You might like to turn in your Bible to the Gospel of John and chapter 10, if you would. Gospel of John and chapter 10. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in prayer. And our God and Father, we do just that. Thank you very much. Take care of the children, the babies, the weak, the sick, the wayward. God, thank you. In Christ's name, amen. In our study of the Gospel of John, and we have proceeded to chapter 10. And in the process, 2 months earlier, you may want to do it just for the fun, not for the fun of it, but to learn, John chapter 7 and verse 2. John chapter 7 and in verse 2. Now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. That's in September. And all the way over to chapter 10, verse 21, we're in that section. Now, when you come to chapter 10, verse 22, we go 2 months, September, October, November, December. We hit December now. And in December, there is a special occasion that the Jewish people have. And you would note it, if I can, in chapter 10 and in verse 22. And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. So we've gone from September to December. And the occasion, he's in the temple area again, Solomon's porch. He's in the temple area, and that's what the next section is. So now, in the light of that, in verse 22, and it was at Jerusalem, and the feast of dedication was winter. Now, you want to keep in mind that the feast of dedication is Chanukah. They have Hanukkah, feast of lights, dedication. And that actually started last Sunday, and it ends this Sunday. It's an 8-day feast. This is the last day of the feast, appropriately, for where we are, the last day of the feast. Now, and in the light of that, the Feast of Dedication, Chanukah, is a celebration of Judas Maccabees back in 164 A.D., and the Greeks were in control, the Greek nation, Macedonian. And in the process, they Antiochus, of all the different ones, from 312 down, here's Antiochus Epiphanes the Fourth. Here he is. Now, and during his time, he wanted everything to be Greek, not Jewish. And so therefore, in all that he did to accomplish that, he went in, and the temple was there. Remember, the temple built by Ezra and Nehemiah. And the temple was there. And he went in, He took the altar, and he took a pig, and sacrificed the pig on the altar. And then he took the blood of the pig and went in and poured the blood of the pig over the scrolls of Scripture, just covered the scrolls laying there with the blood of the pig, and blaspheming, going and defying God. Now, in that time, Judas Maccabees and his brothers rose up in that period, and they rose up and before that, and with 3,000 men approximately in that. Here's this great Greek army and all that stuff. And in the process, Judas led the revolt, and he went, and God, in his miraculous way, and they acknowledged that God, they sought to exercise biblical precedent, and they did what Gideon would do in that, and they went and conquered the enemy. And in conquering them, in 164, Judas Maccabees went and cleansed the temple, cleansed everything, restored everything, and in the process cleansed the altar and purified it and had a sacrifice. Now, in the process of that event, the Judas Maccabees, and here's the temple and the dedication of the temple, the dedication of the altar, which is what this is about, the feast of dedication of the altar, sacrifice where the Antiochus had polluted it, and Maccabees had cleansed it. So now, having said that, and thus I'm going to read for you from the Apocrypha, the 14 books that have to do with different things. Two of them, First Maccabees and Second Maccabees, I'll tell you about this period of history in 167, 3 years, 164 B.C. And in the process, I'm going to read you straight from that. I made a copy of it. And in the process, I'm going to go and give you the record as it was given to us. And now, they rebuilt the temple and restored its interior, consecrated the temple courts. They renewed the sacred vessels and the lampstand and brought the altar of incense and the table into the temple and burnt incense on the altar and the lamps of the lampstand to shine were lit, the menorah, within the temple. When they put the bread of the presence on the table and hung the curtains, all their work was complete. Then early on the 25th day of the month of Kislev, in the year 164, sacrifice was offered at the commandments of the newly made altar of burnt offering on the anniversary of the day when the Gentiles had profaned it. On that very day it was rededicated with hymns, thanksgiving, and music, and harps, and lutes, and cymbals. All the people prostrated themselves, worshiping and praising heaven that their cause had prospered. Now, and they celebrated the rededication of the altar for 8 days. There was great rejoicing as they brought burnt offerings and peace offerings and thank offerings. They decorated the front of the temple with golden wreaths and ornamental shields. They renewed the gates and the priest's room and fitted them with doors. There was great merrymaking among the people, and the disgrace brought on them by the Gentiles was removed. Now, then, this is verse 59. Then Judas and his brothers and the whole congregation, decreed, they made a joint resolution, decreed that the rededication of the altar should be observed with joy and gladness at the same season each year for 8 days, beginning on the 25th of Kislev. That's the 25th of December. Now, and it varies depending on the calendar. This year, it goes from the 6th to the 13th. Now, that was the wonderful thing. And they lit the lamp. God gave the victory. And the lampstand in the temple was lit. The around it, around this, it is said that they only had enough of the proper oil to burn in that lampstand in the temple for one day. And they hadn't had time to make any more, to produce any more. And God, it is said, God kept that lamp burning, those lamp in the lampstand, for 8 days. A miracle. The oil lasted 8 days. Now, that's what they're celebrating. They're celebrating that. And they're all excited. This, here it is, and the Lord says what? I was there. I'm in the temple. I'm in the temple area. The Feast of Dedication is taking place, and they're all excited and happy about the lights, because the lights are lit now. And Judaism, Jews today, depending on things, would have a menorah or a nine-branched lampstand, nine candles, and the middle candle is the servant candle, and it every night for 8 nights, they take the servant candle and light one light, the next night the second one, until they've lit all 8 nights for the 8 days. That is based on Hillel back then. Shammai, another Jew, way back, said you take the lights out. You start all lights lit, and you knock one out each night until there's none on the ninth day. Hillel is what they practice. Hillel. So here, Jews, here we are looking, and if you look at the window, depending on where you are, you will see all nine lights lit, or eight lights lit, because it's the eighth night. Wow. Now, and the light, and they're celebrating. It's an awesome thing, and that's what they were to do. They've been doing it all these years since 164 B.C. Now, here's our Lord, and John makes the note, God's guidance, makes the note that it happened to be the Feast of Dedication, the Feast of Lights, Kanukah. Now, in the light of that, now, so we want to look at that a little bit, and we aren't going to go just there, because it's interesting, I hope. Now, having said that little bit of background, and here's the Festival of Lights taking place, and if you're good, and they're all there, lit, over to John chapter 8, as you know, John chapter 8, picking up if I can, in verse 12. Our Lord Jesus, just 2 months earlier, had just gone through publicly, and that's what the whole thing was about, 8, 9, 10. Chapter 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I am the light of the world. Now, what are they doing? They're all excited. Feast of Tabernacles, yay! And they're rejecting him. John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verse 19. And there was division therefore again among the Jews for these sayings, and many of them said, He hath a devil, a demon. He is mad, he's crazy. Why hear ye him? Others said, These are not the words of him that hath a demon. Can a devil, a demon, open the eyes of the blind, like the blind man in chapter 9? Well, no, they can't. But there's nothing. These people are just talking. Is anyone believing? No. But it's the feast now, 2 months later. You guys are all celebrating something that happened back yesterday, in the day of Judas Maccabees. You're all excited about it. And you're rejoicing, and you're having that wonderful occasion, and you're turning your back on He who is the light of the world. You're celebrating the lights, the lampstand in the temple of Nehemiah, Ezra, the light stand that is lit, and you're celebrating it. You're celebrating that God kept it lit, as it were. Wow. But you reject the one who could do that kind of stuff, namely God. You reject him. Now, hang on to that, if you would. Keeping that in mind, and remember now, we did it over, if you would, back to John, we won't assume anything. John chapter 1. And in John chapter 1, picking up, please, you're putting it all out for us, John chapter 1, 2, 21. Now, John chapter 1, and going, if I can, to verse 10. He was in the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. They didn't care. He came unto his own, Jews, and his own received him not. We just did that in Sunday school. The Jews received him not. They would not receive him. They rejected him. They had, at the what? They had a celebration. And apart from that, apart from the event they had, it's going to end, literally going to end this Sunday, the eighth day, literally ended for them, 8 days, and it ended. So the event took place, and then what? Or nothing. You had an experience, a fun time, the show time, party time, experience. Now what? The eighth day has come to an end. What did you understand? What do you know? Do you understand why it is celebrated? Why the Feast of Dedication, the Feast of Lights exist? Because Judas Maccabees invaded, capitalized, and went against the Greeks and took the temple and took the area back for the Jews. Now, it cost them something. But what does it cost you? Nothing at all. But we celebrate it. We have a feast, etc., and we do all of that. And now, having said that, you do that, but when you're all done, it's all gone, isn't it? You finish the party, the party's over, the cake and ice cream are gone. Now what? Right back to where you were. So we have the celebration. The one in front of you, with all his miracles, all his healings, all his words, his healings and everything, wow, feeding, fed you, wow. And you wouldn't honor him. You won't recognize him. And yet you'll honor this something, 164 B.C., you'll honor that. Now, so you have no lasting benefits whatsoever. Now, why not? Over to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. And you will recall, may I go directly, verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, on the Lord Jesus Christ. But he that believeth not, N-O-T, is condemned already. Why is that? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He doesn't believe. Remember, we just did that in Sunday school. And verse 19. This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds, their works are evil. They're not fit to be able to be seen, exposed, and promoted. Evil. Verse 20. Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved, and he should be condemned and convicted. He doesn't want to have that happen. So now, here's the Feast of Dedication. They're all excited. And they will not recognize the light of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. And here we are looking at the celebration, and they miss it totally. Now, as we go, here we are, December 25th, in the record of Judas Maccabees, December 25th. Well, December 25th is recognized as the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, having said that a little bit, Now we want to apply it. We want to get the benefit. Now, they Jews, they had all the wonderful truth of yesterday, of God's grace, but they didn't enjoy one drop of it. They had a party, they had a feast, they had a celebration. No heart, no lasting benefits, none whatsoever. It was just a good time, it's all over. Are we not about to celebrate Christmas? Christmas. And we're going to go, and people go. I don't do that very much. I don't do any of it, actually. No one expects anything from me. No one. I don't give them anything. I don't care about anything. I just do nothing at all. Wow. But as soon, aren't you glad? Once you get your gifts and get it open, then you had to decorate this and do that. Wow, aren't you glad that's over with? Yeah, goodbye Christmas. That's the same thing they do. We have a big feast, a big holy day, it is. And it's all gone. All gone. Just like them. And you know why? Because Christ is missing. That's the problem. Now, so in the light of that, here we are looking, and the Christmas, as we said, is not any different than the Feast of Lights, as far as that goes. It's here today and gone tomorrow. Now, in the light, Christ, God, the light, is missing. Men love darkness rather than light, because the deeds are evil. God is the Creator, the wonderful, wonderful Creator. And in His grace and His kindness, He is the Savior, the light of the world. Now, having said that, and they don't see that, they don't understand that at all. So God, and here we are celebrating Christmas this year, coming to it, and our society, within the framework of our society in the world, there's no, we do, more or less. That's all gone. All gone. So what's missing? We're missing Christ in it. We're missing the wonderful person of Christ. Now, God, you know that the Jews, John 1:11, the Jews received you not, and the Gentiles don't care. So, God, what are you going to do? Here we are, you're crucified, risen, seated at the right hand of God. Here we are, God. So what do we want to understand? Over, if you would, please, in your Bible, to Matthew chapter 12. And you know these things. I'm just going to remind you, myself and you. And in Matthew chapter 12, picking up, now remember, no one wants to understand, we don't want to get involved with you, God. We don't mind things as we seek to understand and use them, but that's it. Chapter 12, verse 38. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered, verse 39, and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given it to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the whale's belly, the great fish, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. So, and the only sign you're going to give him, is they're going to be crucified, and 3 days, he's going to rise again. That's the only sign I'm going to give you. Because I told you who I was, you crucified me. I told you, when I rise, you're going to know who you crucified. You crucified the one that you looked for, the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God. Now, having said that, so the only sign you're going to give is the sign of the prophet Jonah. Over, well, you're here, not far away, chapter 16, again, Matthew chapter 16, And picking up, if I may, chapter 16, going, if I can, verse 4, for the easy, quick. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. So the only thing, God, you're going to do to answer, Gentile and Jew, the Jews, we aren't going to celebrate. We aren't going to celebrate. You're going to celebrate Christmas? No, sirree, we're Jews. Gentiles, oh, we may do it, depending on our background, Christendom or something, a background, and we may have a Christmas, because after all, it's the same time of year, and gifts giving, and all of that stuff. It's a wonderful time, a fun time, a great time. And we do all that. That's what we do. That's what we do. Do you understand it? Do you know why it is? Do you know the cost of his birth, his death? No, we don't care about that. Now, so here, the only sign you're going to give him. Now, God, the only sign you're going to tell him is the sign of the prophet Jonah. Now, over to Acts and chapter 2, book of Acts and chapter 2. Remember when they replaced Judas Iscariot, one of the criteria for the replacement had to be a witness to the resurrection. It had to be. You couldn't have just anybody. Whoever we pick has to have seen the know the resurrection. Now, so here's Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, Peter speaking, and you're familiar, chapter 2, verse 32. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. We're all witnesses. About what? He raised him up. He raised him up from the dead. Chapter 3, verse 15. And killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses to his resurrection. Chapter 4, verse 2. Being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They had a wonderful, unique relationship to Jesus Christ, made possible by his death, burial, and resurrection. They had received the light of the world. They had the benefit. Now, over to 2 Corinthians to see how it happens, why it happens. How could they be witnesses? They were consistently, their light was consistently lit. There was no season to it. There was no shortage of oil. They had it. They were to be witnesses 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Never to run out. They were to be have the benefit of celebrating the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, celebrating the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world. The light of the world is standing right in front of them. Here's this crowd there, and they're missing. They didn't catch it. Wow. Chapter 4, 2 Corinthians. Chapter 4 and 2 Corinthians. And I'm going to start in verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world, the devil himself, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. In other words, unbelief opens the door for blindness. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, verse 6, reason, hath commanded the light, Jesus Christ, the light of the world, to shine out of the darkness, hath shined where? In our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God who were able to see the wonderment of the invisible, infinite God in the person of Jesus Christ, his person and work. And when we receive him as our Lord and Savior, the knowledge of the glory of God, the end of verse 6, in the face of Jesus Christ. And so we look, as the believers, we look to him, and as we look to him, God deals with our head, God deals with our heart. Hold your finger here a moment, and go over with me, please, back over to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. May I go directly, how does John start? How does God have it? Chapter 1, verse 3. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. All of creation is God's wonderful handiwork. Verse 4. In him was life. There's nothing, bug, butterfly, angel, there's nothing that has life that he didn't give it. He gave the life to all his creation. Verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. What did you choose to do? I am the light of the world. John 1:14, the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. I am going to go and take whosoever's, humans, butterflies no, birds no, ducks no, people are going to be little lights. I am the light. And in order to understand who I am going to use humans who I will save to the uttermost. And they are going to be lights to the world. I am the light of the world. I am the life and the light to see the life that is possible. They are going to have the life that is possible and be a light to demonstrate that wonderful truth. Now, and thus in John chapter 1 and in verse 5, men, the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth, cannot grasp, cannot put it out. Light, darkness keeps trying to put the light out. What are you doing? We don't mind having parties and everything. We just can't honor you, Lord. You are the light, and we can't honor you. We reject you. We love darkness rather than light. And thus, the battle. Why can't people just want to get it clear? Because we love darkness. And in darkness, you can think and do and feel any old which way you please. Now, if I can. And verse 6, and there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. John the Baptist pointed to the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. God, Romans chapter 1, don't you go. You said it. You said that there's no one born on planet Earth that you don't nudge them that you're God. Regardless of the desert, New York City, it doesn't make any difference. You let everyone know you're God. That's what you do. So no one can say, well, no one told me I lived out in the woods. It doesn't matter whether you lived on the moon. Now, in the light of that, dear friends, I have your finger and say, no, you don't. I can see some have lost it. All right, over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter and chapter 1. Christ comes into our heart. He is the light and brings light and shines in our heart for the glory of God. So we have a sense of God that we have in a most wonderful way. We don't have a light in the window. We have a light in our heart. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar, prized, precious people. What for? In order that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you, praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light to show forth. What are we supposed to be? We're supposed to be believers that demonstrate the only sign God is going to show to the Gentile and the Jew is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all. He's going to show the Lord Jesus Christ how? By way of his body, the believers who have received him. And over now to Romans. Romans chapter 6. And in Romans chapter 6, picking up please in thought, if I may, going to verse 3. Know you not, Romans 6, 3. Know you not that so many of us as were baptized, placed into, immersed into, identified into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? When he died, you died. He took you. That's why he went to the cross, to take and bear your sin in his own body on the tree. Verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. A wonderful, we're walking of life. We're, we are witnesses of his resurrection. We have received the resurrected Christ. We have the life that was provided by the Son of God when he rose again from the grave. And that life is ours, and we are exercising that relationship. And that's the only sign he's going to show until he comes. And that's the sign. He rose again from the grave. And he's going to show it in flesh and blood. Flesh and blood. You rejected the word become flesh among you. You rejected him. Now, and then, so what do? We reject his church and have all kinds of our churches. Lots and lots of our churches. But not his. Interesting, isn't it? Not his. We want our churches. That's what we want. Ours. What's different? Well, we didn't catch on. We didn't get it for all practical purposes. Therefore, verse 11, chapter 6, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We are buried with him, and he rose again with him, and God took us, and we believe, in our heart to the saving of our soul. Wow. Now, having said that little bit, keeping that in mind, over, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians and chapter 1. And God, you keep saying it, no matter where we turn, you say the same thing to us, so that we get it. There's no way to lose it, to not have it. Ephesians chapter 1, may I go directly to verse 18. What is the prayer? Spirit of God, what are you praying that we believers should understand? Verse 18, Ephesians 1, 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, your mind, your heart being enlightened. Jesus Christ is the life, and he's the light. So when we see light, so we want to see God, we need light. Jesus Christ is the light to see God. When you see God, you're going to find life. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, his, and what the riches of the glory of his, not ours, inheritance in the saints. God, you have a wonderful thing. You have a wonderful thing you did, and in your grace, you're taking us little vessels of dust, and make it possible for us little vessels of dust not to be religious, like we did 6 o'clock, 6 Sunday school. Religion zero. All religion, all beliefs end up with nothing. Wow. They have nothing. Now, here we are looking, and the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. God, we have a unique relationship to you, and that unique relationship to you is to, and you're going to show us, you're going to show the only sign through little people like us. Chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And how so? Chapter 5, verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Now, God, what are we going to do? Well, verse 8. For you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light. How can we be light? In the Lord. Walk then in newness of life. Walk as children of light. Don't you understand? You're my children. My children, I am the light of the world. Don't you understand that? I am the light. There is no other. Wow. Now, go with me, please, in the, walking in the light. Over, if you would, please. To 1 John, walking in the light. Remember, going to walk in the light and say, okay. 1 John, as you know. 1 John, chapter 1. Now, how are we going to be a light? Now, if you have a light, a lantern, and it's all dirty, and it isn't lit, then there's hardly any light. There isn't any light. It isn't that there isn't a lamp. It just isn't lit. It just isn't lit. Wow. Now, so God, and we'll catch that tonight, perhaps, I think. Now, John chapter 1, picking up, please, in verse 4. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. So we aren't talking about 8 days or one day. We're talking about all the time. That's right. Now, how are we going to have it all? Because we're lights. When does the light go out? It isn't supposed to go out. It stays lit. And, verse 5, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light person. In him, God is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship, remember our fellowship, verse 3, that if we that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. Back down to verse 7. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing us from all sin. So God, here we are walking, living, breathing, getting out of bed, eating, drinking, work, home, school, play, doing whatever we have to do, and we're doing it. And we're supposed to be what? Little lights, uh-huh. And we're supposed to walk as children of light, uh-huh. Well, how are we going to do that? By way of the blood of Christ. That's how. You walk in the light, being cleansed by my blood. And every place you go, I'll keep you clean. You aren't, but I am. And my blood is sufficient to cleanse you from all sin. So that wherever you go, you are a saved sinner. Sinner, yes. Saved, yes. You are a saved sinner. And you are a little, how did you get saved as a sinner? I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I received him into my heart. That's how. And he is the light of the world. And when the light of life came, when the light came and I received him, life came. Light, now life. And I have life. I've come that you might have it more abundantly. Wonderfully, wonderfully abundantly. Over, if you would, please. To 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. All over the place, just looking to get what is our assignment. It isn't to have a celebration of a day or two. It isn't to go and be caught up in the things of the world and losing out on all of the wonderful benefits of being saved. We ought to be lights in the darkness. The world hates darkness, loves darkness rather than light. And so therefore, be of good cheer, light. Hang on. Now, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, may I go right down. Write down, if I can, verse 2. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Sliding down, verse 4. But ye brethren are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. You are, verse 5, all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night, they that be drunken are drunken in the night in darkness. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and a helmet, the hope of salvation. Why? For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Thus, when you come to the first chapter of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, what are you going to say when you end that particular chapter? And to wait, what are we doing? We're waiting for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. So God, we are to be witnesses, little lights, shining in the world, reminding the whole world to pay attention. Wow. Pay attention. That we're just flesh and blood. Of a truth, God is in you. God is in you of a truth. Wow. Wow. Not your religious, that God is in you. Wow. That's what the world said. Didn't say you're a Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Catholic, Islamic. No. I am a believer. I have received the living and only God as my personal Savior. Wow. Now, over if you would, please, to Philippians. One other place, we'll see it. And in the process, keeping in mind, Philippians chapter 2, you know the wonderment of all that. Pick up, please, in verse 12. Wherefore, 2:12. We're going to confess the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 11. Verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my absence only, but how much more now in my presence, how much more in my absence. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, nobody else's. You're a little light. How are you going to do it? Because it is God, verse 13, which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. How is a lamp going to stay lit? By God. Where is the light coming from? From Jesus Christ. Little candle is spirit. Spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Here's the candle. Where's the light? He's the light. Now, verse 15. That, we don't want to murmur and do all things without murmuring and disputing. Verse 15. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, the children of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Remember, adulterous generation, have prostituted their humanity to something other than God. And without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom, here you are, you shine as lights in the world. That's what you're supposed to be. Have such a relationship to me that the reason you are you, the reason you think like you do and walk like you do and live like you do and work, home, school, play, is because you have a wonderful Savior. And it isn't to have everything good here. It's to have everything good in your heart and in your future, because in the middle of time, you're going to go into time answers to eternity. Time is swallowed up by eternity. You are made, designed to be eternal. You are not temporal. Your body is, but you are not. You're going to be forever. Well, somewhere forever. God made you that way. Now, in the light of that, we share together over to John 10. John chapter 10, picking up very quickly. The Lord Jesus said, the end of verse 10, chapter 10, verse 10, I have come that they might have life more abundantly. Wonderfully, not for 8 days. I came to give you a wonderful, wonderful relationship to me, life. And by the way, verse 14 and 15, I know my sheep, remember, we read together and shared it. Verse 14, and I'm known of mine. I am knowing my sheep personally. And remember the word, the verb to know. My sheep are knowing me. I know my sheep. My sheep know me. Now you want to get a little catch something will help you with that? Moses was one of those rare people that God talked to face, wasn't he? Huh? Did God talk to you? God said, I know you, and you are supposed to be knowing me. That's what it's all about. Wow. So, lampstands in the temple, they were always lit. In tabernacle, temple, when it was in healthy, lampstand was always lit, never went out. It was the only light, the only light. God is light, and him is no darkness at all. And all things were made by you, God. Wow. All things were made by you, and our wonderful assignment is to show forth your wonderful person. Now, God, darkness hates light. Light eliminates darkness. Darkness can do nothing to light. True? Darkness can do nothing to light. Light does, eliminates darkness. Men love darkness rather than light because they don't want to, they're evil, they don't want to be exposed. Wow. So God, light shines forth in the darkness. God, and you have made us to shine in a most marvelous way. So God, here we are looking to you, and we're looking for you to do a wonderful work in our head and our heart. And now, in order to, well, I have to do that. You got the idea. Time's gone. We aren't celebrating a day. We're celebrating a life. We aren't celebrating gifts. We're celebrating the giver. That's what we're doing. We're believers in the Most High God. You know, Merry Christmas. Huh? Wow. Yeah. It isn't a holiday. It's a happy, wonderful life. An extraordinary life to live in an ordinary way. Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace and kindness and deal with our heads and our hearts. Thank you for all that you did. Thank you for your record. Thank you for the recording for us, that information that is needful and helpful to understand our wonderful purpose plan, your wonderful purpose plan for our life. God, thank you. You are our life. We thank you, our God, that you are the light in the darkness. And we are lights in you. So God, you know us, and we are to be knowing you. God, thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you for that. And perhaps you would sing a little different. 714.